So again, the whole subject is very interesting. All right, so we're taking up the question of chatzir. I mean, the question of chatzir in general, it's we say by an isha that she can get divorced through her chatzir. But in general, there's such a thing as a kinyan chatzir. I mean, as we saw in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat Siman Reish, the whole siman is it's all about kinyan chatzir. It's true that we were doing agav, but really that even for a man, there's such a thing as a kinyan chatzir. So it becomes like a question, like what is the difference between a woman's kinyan chatzir? What do you mean there's a special diuk? What's the special riboy by an isha? When in reality, even a man can be kohen through his chatzir. It becomes just a little bit confusing. Where do we get kinyan chatzir from a man in general? I mean, if by a woman's get you need a special diuk of yada, how do we know it by a man? And it's true, it's a fact. A man can be kohen through his chatzir. So I decided that, I mean, the sugya really is, it's on these two blot. It's on Yud and Yud Aleph and Bav Metzia. If you know Yud and Yud Aleph and a little bit of Yud Beis, you get the whole. That's basically all the information on Kinyan Chatzir. So we're starting on the Mishnah on Yud. Okay. So let's take the Mishnah. So it comes out there's two things. There's what? There's Kinyan Chatzir, and what else is there? What is there other than Kinyan Chatzir? No.
Dalet
Amos. Right? So.
But that's not Kinyan.
Yeah, it's Kinyan. Sure, it's Kinyan. Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is. The mission is a lot like football.
Well, it's to prevent football.
To prevent football.
So let's take a look at the Gemara, at the Mishnah. Ro'os ha-metzia v'nofal oleha. Yeah, so what does that mean? He saw the metzia and he fell on it. But what did he fail to do?
Grab it.
He failed to grab it. U'bo achar v'hichzik bo, ze shehichzik bo zoche bo. Yeah. So, in other words, you have to make a kinyan. A kinyan, you have to be machzik in the Aveda, in the Metzia. Otherwise, you're not Kona. Okay? Alright. See you over here. Alright. Alright, so the Gemara is like, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Abba Kohen, Bardala, Arba Amo Shel Adam Konos Lo B'chol Makom. I'm not, but it's a little. All right, so I confused you a little bit. But anyway, so it's like this. Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Abba Kohen Bardla. Apparently this was his area, Abba Kohen Bardla. Arba Omar Shel Adam Konos Lo B'chol Makom. That what? That a person's Dalet Amos are Konos Lo. They'll acquire for him B'chol Makom. All right, so B'chol Makom, Gemara sort of modifies a little bit. But what does it mean they're Konos Lo? It means if he wills them to be Kona Slo. Okay. He has to have Das that he's going to be Kona through his Dalet Amos. Okay. But what does it mean, Kona Slo? So Rashi says, Im Yesh Sivivosov Dover Hefker Ein Acher Rashoi Letofso. Interesting how Rashi consistently, right, gives that kind of a definition of Kinyan. Because it's Konos Lo. He's explaining, what does it mean, Konos Lo? It means, once something hefker is in your surroundings, your Dalet Amos, okay, and it means to say over here, the Gemara explains later, it means to say you have Das, that you want to be Kona through your Dalet Amos. See, that's the difference in the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara explains later. The guy in the Mishnah, since he jumped on it, he wasn't employing a kinyan of his Dalet Amos. He was trying to be kona it in some ridiculous way, which is not a kinyan. So that's why the guy who's machzik in it keeps it. But if he would have said, I'm kona that in my Dalet Amos, then he would have been kona in his Dalet Amos. Right. So that's what the Gemara says in the bottom. Kevan de nofal goli daite de benefila nichale de nikni ba'arba amos de nikni ba'arba amos de lo nichale de nikni. So it was a strange thing. Guy was not well versed in halacha. And he thought that he's better off if he lands on it. But the truth of the matter is there's no such kinyan as landing on something. The only kinyan would be through a form of kinyan chatzar, like kinyan Dalet Amos. But then you'd have to have das. I want to be kohen with my Dalet Amos. Okay? So this guy didn't do that. So he landed on it. But that's not a kinyan landing on it. And since he didn't have das for kinyan chatzar, for kinyan Dalet Amos, he comes up empty. And the guy who comes in and grabs it is kohen. Okay.
Oh, Dalet Amos, it's not like a force field.
It's not an automatic thing. It's not like an automatic thing. It's not like you're a black hole and anything in your Dalet Amos, that's the event horizon. And it automatically falls into your rishus. It's not like that. Automatic. Okay. It means to say that your Dalet Amos, you have the capacity to be kona through your Dalet Amos. But you have to exercise that right. Okay. Things don't just jump into your rishus. Hefker things don't just, you don't just walk through and hefker things accumulate into your rishus. Okay? You have to be kona them through your rishus. So that's the problem in the Mishnah. He wasn't thinking about kinyan Dalet Amos. But Rashi says, interestingly again, Rashi says, what does it mean it's konos lo? It means no one else is allowed to take it.
Like, let's say you have a situation. Say I'm 4 amos away from another guy.
Right. You could learn Rashi to say that you're not kona yet.
Right.
But it's like dibs.
Yeah.
Dibs.
Yeah. I said that, right? Dibs. I said first dibs.
First dibs. But that is a good assumption, and that is the way I would think Rashi. That is what I would think Rashi means initially.
Like, it's not a kinyan, it's just.
But it's not. I don't think it's true.
It's just that it's your opponent.
I don't think it's true because I think we say like by the isha, if you throw it to her Dalet Amos, she's divorced. She doesn't have to pick it up.
So wouldn't it be obvious? Ain acha rasha letosla, the red tovso. If he was calling it, it's it. So you're precluded.
He's trying to explain. He's trying to say that is what kinyan means. That is the effect of kinyan. Like we were saying in Gittin. Remember you made the point in Gittin? What does he say when he says No'al Delas is a kinyan? It means you can't back out anymore. It means that the legal rights have been assigned and it's exclusive to you now. That's what it means. It's exclusive to you. To say he can use it wouldn't mean anything. To say nobody else can take it, that's what ownership means. That's what it means it's yours. That's what it means you own it. That he's the Baal. Alright, but here's the essential point. Here's the point that I wanted you to get from here. Amar Reish Lakish. So it says, my taima. What's the reason? Takinu Rabbanon, my taima takinu Rabbanon. Why did they institute this? So here it's clear that what? That Dalet Amos, Konos, is midrabanan. Delo lisi le'antsuye. So people shouldn't come to argue. To fight.
To wrangle.
To wrangle.
That's a gesture.
That's the gesture term?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the rumble.
So in other words, if it was a question of who gets possession of it, then you'll wind up with the fumble situation. And you're going to have people just trying to be the last man holding the metzia. So that's not a good way to determine rights. That's opens up to all kinds of dangers. So the Rabbanan said, Dalet Amos Akonos. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to quarrel. See, quarrel is not the great, not the best term, no? They could still quarrel, like Avi said, whose Dalet Amos was in there first. But they're not going to wrangle. They're going to take it to Basin, maybe. But if you say the owner is the one who's machzik in it first, then the match is on, right? Then the match is on. That's not a good way to settle to determine the rights. Okay. Fine. But the point here is that Dalet Amos is the Rabbanan. Dalet Amos is the Rabbanan. But it doesn't mean, I mean, it is tempting to say from Rashi, like you were saying, that nobody else has the right to take it, but he's not actually kona it.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. Because what prevents people from taking it? It means like just stam and iser. So if somebody would take it, he could be kona, but he'd be over an iser. It becomes difficult.
That's what I would say.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's because I. That's because
like
I. That's just because I misled
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
It's a similar thing like when.
It seems to me that Rashi is trying to indicate. Maybe he's trying to indicate the derech that they gave him the bailus of. This bailus does mean exclusive rights. So memela, when they say that no one else is allowed to take it, then memela it means it's his. Because that is how it becomes his. By the Rabbanan excluding anyone else from being allowed to be tofes it. That memela means it's his. He doesn't actually have to be tofes it anymore. Being the one, what is a baal? It's like the exercise that we took part in when we were learning the Isha's chotzer vis-a-vis the Baal's rishus, right? So we were saying that ownership is when you have all of the rights to something. So when you give somebody all the rights of something, you make them kibal. So even though the Isha might have an ownership deep in the ground, but to say that the Baal has every single right of every usage, that makes him a mela like a Baal. The only thing, he's not really the Baal because someone else actually has the ownership of it. But if the Rabbanan say, when a man comes in, Dalet Amos and his Rishus an object, and he deems it his, and now no one is allowed to take it, then mela, it means it's his. You know what an interesting illustration is? It's like we said, it's like the question, I know this happens to be machlokas, so it's not the perfect example, but like it's like the question of, can you acquire something that's asur b'hanah? Is it possible to acquire something that's asur b'hanah? So there are sheets that say no, because what does ownership mean? It means that you take the rights to use something. So something that is asur b'hanah has no usage, so what does ownership mean? If ownership doesn't mean, what does ownership mean other than the aggregate of all the rights to use the thing, the aggregate of all of its rights, of all of its usages. So if you say something has no usages, what does it mean to own it? Nothing. Okay. But again, that case is a famous machlokas in the Rishonim, whether you can have a ownership on it or not. But the illustration is the same. The point is the same, that ownership, there's a practicality of ownership, which is the rights. And maybe that's what Rashi's trying to explain. How was he kona this? How was he kona this? It's midrabbanan. So the rabbanan always have that tool in their, they always have that tool in their chest of hefker based and hefker, so to speak. That Baiskin has a right that's one of the rights of Basin to assign bailus to things. But still, Rashi's trying to express maybe via what mechanism? They made it is by negation of everybody else. And then the Mela, that then it becomes his. Maybe. I'm not sure. It is his. Why? In other words, you can be yours in two ways, either because you demonstrate an ownership over the thing, like you pick it up and you bring it into your rishus, or memela, it's not shayach to anybody but you. Let me put it this way. When an object is on the floor and I want it, so 1,000 guys want it. Well, it doesn't become mine. It's not shayach to me any more than it's shayach to you or you or you or the next million people that are going to come by in the next 100 years. Why is it shayach to me more than anyone else? So there's no way that I can say it's mine. Because mine means some type of a bialis. Bialis means control. Bialis means exclusive usage. So the fact that I really want it and I'm really close to it, and I'm about to pick it, that doesn't make it mine, because it still is equally shayach to everyone. I only have to demonstrate my bialis because I have to do something that excludes other people. I have to put myself in a position that's superior to everybody else. So everybody wants it and everybody can potentially have it, but if it's in my hand, then I'm the only one who really has control over it. Okay? So putting it in my hand is not necessary intrinsically. Theoretically, conceptually, it's not necessary. What's really necessary conceptually is to make it exclusive to me. You understand? Naturally, unless I do something that nobody else is doing, and unless I put it in my possession, then I'm not excluding anybody else. So then I don't own something if you and everybody else has equal shaychus to it. But memela, maybe Rashi is learning that memela, by saying no one else can be tofes it, that memela makes it shaykh to me alone. I don't have to do something to pick it up. There's nothing special about my connection with the object. There's nothing special about touching it. What's special is that I'm removing it from the realm of everybody, and I'm entering it into the realm of me exclusive. So if it's an object, without the gzerim, without the takanamid, rabban of dalet amos, there'd be no way to remove it from the realm of everybody's possibility into the actuality of me, unless I actually take it and put it in my pocket, and that's the end of the story. But if midrabanan, they say, whatever is in my dalet amos, no one else has any right to touch, no one else has any right to be toface, so then that memela makes it exclusively mine. And that is kinyan. You don't need a maisa kinyan. You only need a maisa kinyan to exclude other people. But if the takanam rabbanan is itself the exclusion of everybody, then I don't need anything. Then memela, it's mine. You say, what am I missing? I didn't touch it? Well, who cares? Who said you have to pick something up? Oh, but you have to pick something up if it's not in your dalet amos? Yeah, that's because I have to take it away from other people. But if I don't have to take it away from other people, because memela it's away from everybody else, why do I have to? Like, for instance, let's say you get something in Yerusha. You don't have to pick it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to anybody else. It automatically belongs to you. The kinyan comes through exclusion. Rashi is trying to demonstrate the kinyan here comes through exclusion. It's not just a thing that they said, there's a force field around you, and whatever touches your force field becomes yours. That's like you picked it up. Rashi is saying, no, it doesn't come. It's not like they're making a new maisa of picking up. It's not like they're saying, it's like you picked it up if you're close to it. That doesn't make sense. But so how does it become yours? It becomes yours because their takana is, b'soch dalet amos shelcha, everyone else has an issa to enter to be tofis the object.
How does that work?
That's the takana midrabanan. That's the takana midrabanan.
That's also what makes it yours.
But that is what makes it yours. It's not giving you dibs.
Forever. It's yours forever, even if you walk away?
Yes. Yes, as long as you had das to be kona, you have to have das to be kona.
I'm so confused. Then, you have to have das to be kona. I guess that's the big, mechanism.
That's it. You have to exercise that right. It's not usher unless bidas, you don't want other people to take it. You have that right. You have the right to exercise the exclusivity of your dalet amos. If you're just walking through, it doesn't happen in Mela. So the dalet amos could become like your domain if you exercise that right. Yeah. If you have das.
How could you make a dalet amos your domain? How's that?
Midrabanan.
How could that be? Isn't it Rishus HaRabim sort of?
Yeah, so the Gemara talks about what type of a place. Would it work on Times Square? Would it work on the football field? The Gemara goes through different cases like that. What?
In your friend's house?
Will it work on your in your friend's house? Right. 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 So we'll work out. That's a detail of what the kol makom is. Right. We're talking about metzia here. Right.
You can't steal for your dollars.
Right. Okay. So now the Gemara says an interesting thing. Gemara says, let's skip ahead to the next statement of Abba Kohen Bardlo. Okay, so he says like this: V'omer Reish Lakish Mishum Abba Kohen Bardlo Kitana Ein Lo Chotzer Ve'Ein Lo Arba Amo. So where did Chotzer come from? No one mentions Chatzar yet. No one mentioned Chatzar yet. But he says the Kitana does not have a Chatzar. What does that mean? Rashi. Yeah, by the way, you see the top piece of the Gemara. It says Rav Papa Amar Ki Takinu Le Rabbanan Arba Amos Be'alma. Besod the balabayas lo takinule rabbanan. Not in someone else's hat. Not in someone else's field. Or besod the alma. And also, I think the Gemara says also not in a very busy place. So it gets cut down a little bit. That kol makom.
Isn't Rosh Hashanah by definition a very busy place?
No, it's like the tzidei Rosh Hashanah. Like things like that. Was like the, is like the, like in Shabbos you have the. You go through the, I forgot what it's called, the colonnades, different places where the rabbin can't just flood through. Carmelis. So he's like this. What does it mean? Kitana in lo chotzer. Im zarak lo baila get leto chatzera lo konso lo chatzera lis garish bo. So he's a kitana. Of course, a woman has a chatzera. That's a Mishnah. But he's saying a minor child, a woman, a girl, doesn't have a chatzir. Right.
She's old enough to be married.
So her father could have accepted the kedushin for her, but she can't accept the get through her chatzir. Why? V'chein emayisa omedes b'rishus harabim v'zarku lo get ba'arba amoseha. V'yavagav de gedola migarsha kiditznan azorik get lisha besoch beisa, so she has a chatzir, and ha'yisal medes prishus rav mazarka lo karov lo migureshes. Sin, even though an isha has chatzir and dalad amos, Rav Abba Kohen Bardlo says a ketana has neither. Why? And Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yana Yomar, Yesh lo chotzer v'yesh lo arba amos. She has both. She has a chotzer and she has arba amos. Okay. So here's the question. B'mai kam miflagi. So what's the machlokas between we could just call it Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What's the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Mar sover. Chotzer mishum yoda israboy. So one side says that where does chotzer come from? Meaning by the isha, right? In the Torah, how do we know an isha can get divorced through a chotzer? We learn that from a riboy of yad. Ki hechi de islo yad, chotzer nami islo. So since a katana has a hand, she also has a chotzer. That's a good question. Umar sovar chotzer mishum shlichus is rabbi. And the other one says chotzer comes from shlichus. V'chiyechi the shlichus leisla, chotzer nami leisla. And just like a katana can't make a shliach, she does not have a chatzir. Strange. Let's see Rashi. What does it mean, Mishum Yoda Isra Boy? Dichsiv v'nosan biyada. Yeah. And he put it in her hand. Good. V'yada reshusa mashma. So this Rashi is different than our Rashi in Gerish and Gittin. Right? It's Rashi is learning that that's the mashmaos of yada. In Gittin he learned v'nosan mikol makom. Because it could have said ubiyada nitna, right?
Doesn't use that
letter. Yeah, yeah. V'yikach es kol arzo miyado. So what does it mean? What's the mashmos of yada? Control, rishus. Because it said, and they took all the land from his hand. Doesn't mean the land that he was holding on to. Doesn't mean the land that was in his hand. In his hand is a mashal for in his rishus. So that's who? That's Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, v'nosan biyada, and yada means, it implies rishus. Not literal. It's not literal. It doesn't literally mean her hand. It means her control. V'chihe and kihe sinti eslo yad. A ketana has a yad. How do you know she has a yad? Dimishio das lishmoros gita migureshes. So she can be divorced. She doesn't have to be a gedola. A ketana can accept kedushin. So as long as she's old enough to guard her get, then she's migureshes. Delo miet rachmona elashota dimishalcha vichozeres. Yeah, so guarding the get doesn't just mean physically guarding the get, apparently. He's learning means keeping the concept of the get. Because supposed is v'shilcha mi beso. So it has to be ascending. This goes back to what we were saying the other day, like a krisus. If a woman is a shota, and every time you send her away, she comes back, because she simply doesn't understand what it means to be sent away, then the Gemara is saying it's impossible to divorce her. She's not shayach to, she's not capable of being divorced. But the point over here is that a ketana, 10 years old, certainly is old enough to understand that. So what? So she has a yad. Yeah, how is he tying that to Rishus though? Apparently he's learning that as long as you're able to, is he tying that to Rishus, or is he just saying that? Is that an explanation of how you know she has a yad, or is he just saying she has a Rishus? That's a fact. What's the connection in this Rashi? It's a little troubling to me, the connection, the continuity of this Rashi. Ki hechi di islo yad, just like she has a hand. How do you know she has a hand? Because what? Because she can get divorced when she's a katana. So that means she has a hand? As long as she's capable of understanding what a get is, that's equivalent to having a hand? Or is he just saying, factually speaking, we know that a katana can get divorced, so obviously it means she has a hand.
It has to be some form of nasan biyada.
Right.
Not enough for her just to know the idea of the carriage.
Okay, so then therefore what? That's Rabbi Yochanan. And what's the other shita? Mishum shlicha, says Rabbi. Yeah, it gets a little tough here. Mide Rabbi Rachmana shlichas l'odam kidetanya v'sholach malamish ha'ish osa shliach v'shilcha malamish ha'isha osa shliach. Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. Where do you know shlichus from? Where do you know shlichus from?
Well, we looked up the Rashi. It said didn't use a lashon of.
Yes, that's a pasuk by Gittin, that he sends her. So the Gemara learns, or he could have used another lashon. So the lashon of shliach and shilcha implies that he can make a shliach and she can make a shliach. So what's his shliach? His shliach would be for the giving of the get. And her shliach would be for the receiving of the get. But this seems like an enormous jump, no? This just seems like an enormous jump now. So once I say a shliach can, once I say you can have a shliach, so then what? Yisraboi nami chatzera, dahavila kishlucha. So now I'll say her chatzer can be like her shliach. Her chatzer can be like her shliach. But the problem is v'chi hechi de shlichas leisla. But just like a child can't make a shliach, titnan she'in hakatan osa shliach. Dechiksev shlichas bein begitin bein bepesach. Because the other source for shlichas is Pesach. Because it says kol ezrach, I think it says, is going to shech the Pesach. Kol Yisrael is going to shech the Pesach. The Gemara says, is it possible for every Jew to shech this on Pesach? So it means to say you can have a shliach for the shchita. Another drush over there. Hold on, Chaim. Ishksev be'inyin. But in each case, it says ish. So a katan can't make a shliach. So once again, if you're going to learn. Now we have a question. Where do we get the idea that what? That a woman can accept her get through her field? If it comes from the pasuk of Yada, so then we'll say even a katana can accept the get through her chatzer. Because chatzer is Yada, and a katana has a yad. But if we're going to learn getting through the Kabbalah, so get through the Chotzer from a type of Shlichus, so then we'll say a Katana can't make a Shliach, and therefore she can't accept her get through her Chotzer. Those are the facts. That's for sure. I mean, everybody here would agree that a Katana can't make a Shliach to accept the get for her. That's for sure. Because everyone agrees there's no shlichas for a katan. The only question is, can she get it through her chatzir? If he puts it into her chatzir, she has a chatzir.
If we consider it like her yad, then that's
good. So if we consider it like her yad, then it's good. If we consider it like her shliach, it's no good.
Because does the direct aspect have anything to do with it? Because it's the fact that it's not like a step removed from the sender. That way she actually achieves real...
Well,
you
mean the fact that she knows that she's getting? You mean that idea that she has to be Shomer Gita?
Yeah, I mean, because the fact that, I mean, I haven't really defined it fully, but like the fact that there's something really different about her being 10 versus above, and I think maybe it has to do with, understanding.
Well, they're saying it has to do with two things. It has to do with what the idea of what the din of chatzir, what's the source of the din of chatzir? Is it rooted in a din of yad, or is it rooted in a din of shlichus? And the other thing is the fact that a katana can't make a shliach. Okay.
Go and receive the get from the chatzir.
No. Make no mistake, when we say shlichus, it's effective the minute it goes into the yad of the shliach. Shlichus means, what does shlichus mean? What's the number one rule of shliach? Shliach shel adam kamoso. Shliach shel adam is kamoso. So that means to say that if a woman, a grown woman, appoints somebody as her shliach for Kabbalah, the minute the shliach receives the get, it is what? As if she received the get, and the get is complete. Right, so let's just think about the difference between what it means to say that the get can go to Yada, goes to the Chotzer Midin Yada, versus going to the Chotzer Midin Shliach. What does that say about the Maisa of Gittin? What does that say about the Kabbalah Saget and the Sina Saget? What's the difference conceptually between saying It's biyad. It's yada, or it's midin yad, or midin shliach.
Midin shliach is not really midin yad.
Don't worry about how shlichus works. That's not something that should bother you. About how shlichus works. But what does shlichus say? Let's just worry about that. What does shlichus say? That when the shliach does a maisa on behalf of the mishaleach, we deem it as the maisa of the mishaleach atzmo. It is not a two. It's not one step removed. How is it not one step removed? Why is it not one step removed? Because shlucho shel adam kemoso. Now you might say, but he's not really him. How does that work? I told you, don't worry about how that works. That's none of your business right now. That's not the way to investigate this question. You want to investigate shlichus? That's investigating shlichus. But you want to investigate what we're saying about gittin? You have to take the assumption of shlucho shel adam kemoso. And you'll say, if you say midin shlichus, what does it mean? It means only she herself can receive the get. Only she herself can receive the get. Personally. But the field is like her. Midin shlichus. She received the get personally, directly. Midin shlichus. Shlichus tells you that you can superimpose your persona, like Gary said, onto another entity, be it animate or inanimate, as strange as that might sound.
I mean,
but it means to say, you personally must do this. However, you can give someone else or something else your personal identity. As opposed to saying, midin yada, which means to say, the get only has to enter your domain. It doesn't have to get to you. It just has to be put under your control. It has to go into your rishus, not personal delivery. Sometimes the UPS man will drop it in your property and be putter. Sometimes it has to be personal delivery. Let's say they come with a personal delivery. You say, well, I am his power of attorney. Oh, okay, personal delivery. But I have the authority to act on his behalf. Oh, does that mean I can throw it in his yard? No, of course not. His yard is not... Yeah, he could authorize his yard to act on his behalf too, according to the Gemara. But over here he's saying that the nafkamina would be if by katana. But you understand? It's counterintuitive. It's counterintuitive. But the
shlichus is working more similar to how you think yad works.
Exactly. Shlichus is more working how you think yad works. But yad is really a dilution. Yad is a dilution of the requirement itself. You would say, Mamela, the requirement of Nisinas Haget is to the Isha. Yada means no, it doesn't have to go to her dafka. It just has to go under her control. So if I put it, we're going to see, it doesn't mean a field that she owns that's an open forest. It has to be a chutzer that's guarded. It has to have requirements to be considered under her control. Okay? But the concept is that the nesinas haget can be accomplished via her rishus, not via her person. If you're going to say midin shlichus, it means it has to be to her. The gavra of her. The only thing is, we have this magical thing called shlichus that allows us halachically to lay the shame gavra on something else. So if I were to be Mekadesh and Isis through a Shliach, it's the same thing? Someone else is going to say, he's going to do the Kenyan, but it's as if I did the Kenyan. Yeah. It's not really a question why it doesn't work by a cotton. First of all, that has to do with the how it works, which I forbade you from discussing right now. But second of all, it's not so surprising, not so surprising. That expresses a real maturity. To be able to take your shame gavra and impose it on somebody else, that's not child's play. But to have a rishus, what's the big deal? Kid has a rishus. It's not something the kid does, it's something the kid has. It makes perfect sense to say kids have things, but they can't do things. That doesn't bother me.
Would you say it takes maturity?
To be able to say, I am giving you my shame gavra for you to go around and do things with. Who's to say a kid can do something like that? Yeah, to appoint an agent. Who's to say a kid can appoint an agent? But to say a kid can't have rishus, why not? Okay, so the question was das. But right now we're dealing with a very, very limited question. We're dealing with the question of a woman and her get. She doesn't need das to accept her get. It's a kinyan bal karcho. So there's no question. So what do you say? What's so interesting, though, is that the Gemara is saying that din shlichus, they're learning, it seems like they're learning, that it just makes sense to include a chutzer into the din of shlichus. So does that make sense or not? In other words, the Gemara, according to Rashi at least, the Gemara seems to be implying that once we know that you can make a shliach, we also include your chatzar.
So you gain it from
there. So it would only work on your field, right? That's for sure. It only works on your field. You can't take a sada and say this will be my this will act as my shliach. Oh, and you don't have to make the stipulation explicitly, right? Well, we'll see. It gets interesting. Yeah, right. So, no, it's midin to say that chutzar works in midin shlichus. It means to say that there is a shame of the gavra that is in the rishus itself. Okay, because. Okay, let's go. We're really just like in the infancy of this sugya. So the problem is with this thing is that the bit of a, actually infancy is probably not the right mashal. We're sort of in the labor over here of the sugya. We have to go through a little bit of birth pain to get the right idea out of this. It doesn't come easy. You got to go through these difficult problems to work it out. So let's say, but they're fascinating. So let's get into the next issue and see if we can figure out how the Gemara is thinking about this by the way they're posing these questions. So let's see. So the Gemara asks a bizarre and wonderful question, right? He says, "V'chi hechi." I'm sorry. He says, "Mi ika man de omar chotze mishum shlichus es rabbi." So the Gemara is saying like this, maybe the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is a machlokus of whether the chotzer is midin yad or midin shlichus. Okay. And if it's yad, it'll work for katana, and if it's shlichus, it will not work for katana. So now the Gemara says, who says what? Does anybody really hold a chotzer is a din of shlichus? Now the Gemara snuck something in right away. It's something that got snuck in. And what was snuck in? That if you say chotzer is mi din shlichus, it's universal. We're not really talking about an isha anymore. Right?
Whichever way you go, you mean? If you say
and achanami, whichever way you go, absolutely. If you're going to say it's mi din yad, right? So then that means What? It means that the chatzer has a din of her rishus, correct? And by get, at least, all that needs to be done is that the get be delivered to her property. It wouldn't tell you about if you can make another kinyan through somebody else's chatzer. Because how do you know that by another kinyan it's enough to go into somebody's rishus? All we know is that universally chatzer has a din of yad, which we know. That's not really what the pasuk is teaching us. What the pasuk there is really teaching us is it's sufficient for the kinyan of get to simply go under her control. But it's not necessarily sufficient for any other kind of a kinyan to just simply put it under somebody's rishus. Maybe for a regular kinyan matana, the gavra has to take it, not just his property. And I would say that makes sense, because like we mentioned a long time ago, that there's a person and then there's his property. It makes sense to say that how do things become part of his property? Through him. Right? To say his property makes things part of his property is sort of like saying the thing is acting on itself. So it makes more sense to say there are two institutions. There's the gavra, and then there's what we call related to him, his property, exclusively related to him. How do things become exclusively related to him? Via the tefisa of the gavra. But just by being in his field, being in something that is related to him, doesn't necessarily make it also related to him. It's not like, you know, green goo that everything it touches turns green or something like that. It's got to go to the gavra. The gavra's got to take it. And now he can be machnes it into his rishus. Who says that the rishus can machnes it into the rishus? That's not obvious. But get is exeris akas, sever halach of I get. Nesinas I get doesn't require her, whatever it is you're going to say. Okay, but if you'll say it works midin shlichus, that means to say universally a chotzer is a shliach. And then that should have universal implications for all kinyanim. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is questioning, saying if you're going to tell me there's someone who says that the chotzer is like a shliach, then that has to be true all the time. Because it's not really a diak by, they're not really learning it from a special diak of Nosan, biyada. They're learning it from the fact that you can make a shliach. The fact that you can make a shliach makes sense that a chotzer should be able to be a shliach. If that's the case, then in general, everybody's chotzer is his little shliach. Okay. So the Gemara says, if you're going to say that a chatzar can be a shliach, you're going to run into a major problem. What's the problem? Mi ika man d'omer chatzar mishum shlichus is rabbi v'atanya biyado. He'll come back to our other yad case, right? Like in Gittin, that's the ganav, right? Im hi motze ti motze biyado. Ainly ella yodo. I only know really in his hand by the ganav. When is he chayav kefil? Gago chatzero v'karpifo minayin. Right, you got up to this part, right? How do you know that even if it goes into his yard, right? And like we learned in shem nichnas hashom v'no'al b'foneha, Rashi explains it here, right? Legon vashu chayav. How do you know if it wanders into his field and then he closes the door to steal it? How do you know that he's chayav as a ganav? He didn't take it with his hand. That would be like a kinyan chatzer. That would be a kinyan chatzer. So did something happen when he closed the door and he kept it in his yard? Was there a kinyan through his chatzer? Or was he just dibsing it to put his yad on it? You understand?
This is a kinyan.
Ah, how do you know that? How do you know that? Talmud Lomar, he motzei ti motzei mikol makom. It comes to teach us that what? That anyway, even if it's not in his hand mamish, but it is found with him, even in his gag, chotze or karpef, then he's a ganef. So what does that mean? It means he's kona through his chatzer. So we have the Gemara is now learning that a ganaf is kona through his chatzer. But if you're going to tell me that how does your field kona for you, it's like your shliach. then it turns out there's a case of a shliach l'dvar avera. V'kaimulon ein shliach l'dvar avera. Surprising, huh? Im kein motzinu toras shlichus l'dvar avera. Rashi adds an important word, right? We find the phenomenon of shlichus, the din of shlichus, the laws of shlichus, right? The reality of shlichus by an avera. Lomar shlucho kimoso. To say what? In what sense will we find shliach l'dvar avera?
That it's like him.
That it's like him. V'chayev hasholeach b'maisa hashliach. So what does it mean, shliach l'dvar avera? Shliach l'dvar avera would mean, as strange as it sounds, I send you to steal on my behalf, and I'll be chayev kefel. So we say, no, ain't shliach l'dvar avera. Ain't shliach. Who's chayev kefel? You. The ganef.
The messenger.
The messenger. But not the sender. But now you're going to tell me that what? That the chotzer is like a shliach to be kone, the geneva. So who did the maisa geneva?
Oh, the field did it.
The field did it.
I didn't do it, the field
did it. I didn't do it, the field did it. So why am I chayev to pay?
Don't you have to lock the gate also?
That's true, you have to lock the gate, but that just turns the field into what's called a shliach. Because it has to be, in order to be a shliach, the field has to be capable of holding something. V'chi hechi de shlichus le... I'm sorry, yeah. V'kaimelon ein shliach d'var aver. Yup. Yeah, so what do you say over here? So Ravina gives a good answer. He says, Amar Ravina, Heicham Rinan Dein Shliach Advar Avera. When do we say there's no Shliach Advar Avera? Heicha de Shliach Bar Chiyuvahu. That's when the Shliach is a Bar Chiyuv, Rashi. She'af hu Muzar Aladavar. That's when the Shliach is also warned against the matter. In other words, when the Shliach himself has an Isser to do what he's doing. Hosom Potter Hasholeach. Then we'll say the sender is Potter.
Yeah.
Why? D'aminan lei, because we'll say to the Shliach, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishalman. We'll say to the Shliach, who should you have listened to? No, as a shliach will come to us and say, don't make me chayev the kefil, I was just doing what he wanted. And we'll say to the shliach, well, he told you to do it, and God told you not to do it. So, divrei Talmud, divrei David, divrei Mishnah, who should you have listened to? Should have listened to God, that you shouldn't do it. So now, what? Ein lo hayo lo lasos, you shouldn't have done it. So therefore, you're chayev. We have to think this through. But...
what? What's the thing through?
The argument. I have to think through the argument a little bit. But what? But hecha de shliach avachatzer t'lav bar chiyuvahu. Right?
Yeah.
See, isn't it funny, Rashi? Rashi sort of like switches his gears now. L'shalem... oh, no, wrong one. I'm sorry. Lav bar chiyuvahu, meaning what? The field wasn't commanded to do or not to do. Mechayev shocho. So in other words, we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it in a little while. But in other words, he's saying there's no din that there's no such thing as a shliach l'dvar avera. Right? It's not like shlichus and avera simply don't cannot coexist. It's not like an idea that intrinsically there's no shlichus l'dvar avera. What's the idea?
The accountability.
That since the shliach himself is accountable, it breaks the connection to the sholeach. But if there was nothing to break the connection to the Sholeach, then in Echanami you'd have a Shalich Levar Avera.
Meaning what, you can't have two people be Chayiv for the same Geneva?
That's what I said, we have to think about a little more. But the point is, the Gemara's question was, just to set it up, the Gemara's question seemed to be that Shlichus and the realm of Avera simply don't exist together. There's just no way to have such a thing as a Shliach on a Dvar Avera. Just cannot be, intrinsically. So what might you say, according to the way we're thinking about things? You might say that the mechanism of transplanting your Shem Gavra to another entity simply doesn't exist right now.
To meaning
you stole it begufo.
That's right. You would not say that you stole it begufo. And maybe the Torah only says you're chayav for stealing begufo.
Why not just say yad? It's so much easier. It's so much easier.
No, it's not. It's very not easier with yad, believe me. But hold on. But now the Gemara is saying, what? No. It's not that there's no such thing as the phenomenon of Shlichus L'Var Avera. But there's always something that stops it. There's always something that breaks the Shlichus. And what's that?
Okay.
That's the Bar Chiyuva. That's the fact that the Shlich is a Bar Chiyuva. But if you remove the bar chiyuva, if you make the shliach, if the shliach is not a bar chiyuva, then the sholeach will be chayav. And then the Gemara goes through the most amazing questions about trying to find cases where one person is chayav in a mitzvah, and another person is not, like getting a woman to shave someone's head. A woman is no chiyuv in the isser of shaving, because she has no beard. So if I would send a woman to shave somebody's head, she's not a bar chiyuva, so maybe I should be chayav.
Maybe what? Maybe.
Maybe I should be chayav.
That's a good question.
Okay, so we'll get into it. We'll get